yeah, we read it. Listeners, fans, audience, parents.
Upper East Siders.
Upper East Siders.
The rich, the poor.
The rich, the poor, the extremely lavish Taylor Swift. Yeah. I think she'd be a Yeah We Read It fan if she gave us a chance.
I would like to think so. We're full of Easter eggs.
Exactly. Yeah, we definitely think three steps ahead.
Yeah, just like Taylor Swift.
Welcome to our wrap-up of Gossip Girl. You guys have, been with us through this season since, I don't even know, middle of summer 2023, I think.
I think it was September 2023 when we started.
This is
maybe,
true.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. It's been a long season, so you let us take a break, you let us come back, and we appreciate it.
This has been a season of fun, of goofs, of a lot of different personal developments and experiences, and I have really enjoyed the series that we picked and the time that we picked to read it, because it was really good. I really liked Gossip Girl.
Honestly, Gossip Girl, it was just, fun. And that's the thing. It wasn't trying to be serious, which I think a lot of, chick lit books do. Mm-hmm. Especially the girly, YA books. It's, they're always trying to be so serious. But the fact that it's so willingly, leaned into the ridiculousness of it, I was so along for the ride. Some of the ghostwriter books I was not happy with, but I really liked the sequel that they did at the end too, that just kind of checked in with everybody over the course of a few years. I thought that was really great.
And I know that I brought up the Cut article that Cicely Von Ziegler had talked about earlier, but obviously this series was kind of born from witnessing her own lifestyle. She grew up around her peers who went to school like this. And, you know, most of our book series, I would say, that I classify in the hot girl genre, we have the dystopian girl genre, war girl, and then the monster books, and then this is hot girl books.
And that's the trifecta of YA.
Sometimes they try to have a message in having bad characters, and you just want the bad characters because bad people can be human too as well.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, you or I are gonna be rich, we're not gonna ever live this life, but they have human moments within Gossip Girl that were so much more relatable than I would say the Click or the Private series.
You know what, that's such a good point, Maggie, because with a lot of these girly books, they really try to do this whole fish out of water, rags to riches thing. And the fact that Gossip Girl opens and it's everyone's at the same level, have fun. It was just, again, I really liked that kind of not usualness that we were so used to with our other girly books that we have read.
I agree, because the Blair-Serena friendship, and that is a trope that is mirrored in a lot of places. I mean, the first thing I can think of is Jennifer's Body, that level of competition. There is an innate competition between women growing up when you have a little bit of internalized misogyny that you haven't worked out that pushes people to be mean. And I think that that is what was missing, at least in the Click. I feel like the girls in the Click were pretty vicious. For me, is that it didn't seem like there was much motive. They were competing, but there weren't any driven...
There's no stakes.
No stakes. Yeah. And Blair is insecure. She always feels second to Serena. And Serena... Yeah. As two-dimensional as she is almost revered and loved at such a level that you always have to maintain that level. So she's always wanting more. And I thought it was very relatable from both girls' perspectives.
Yeah. No, the things that Serena and Blair would be up in arms about felt very normal people problems. Some things not so much, your boyfriend stealing a yacht to avoid hanging out with you. That's a little bit. But, at its core, the message could ring true.
Yeah, I think that there was so much humanity poured into these people who were not objectively good or bad, but I would say lean towards being bad. And then also, I'm sorry, but, I had told you before, I would look up the dresses that they had. The way she described... visually the world. I remember one book where Vanessa goes and shops in Victoria's Secret And it felt like I was shopping there, like, in middle school. I was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't even know half the names for some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point. No, the world building in this is so digestible. And I think that's, like, the what rings true to this series is, like, again, it's just very snappy. Like, I think the fact that all the books are less than 300 pages except for the final one, and they all just, like, you just breeze through them, and then it's just like, oh, what a fun little tale I got to read.
So what were some of your favorite moments, I would say, from the Gossip Girl series? We'll start with that.
That's a really, really good question. I think I really liked the plot line of when Dan and Serena were dating and going on college tours and they got swept up by Nate and his friends. I really liked the plot line of just Dan being so stalkerish towards Serena. So those early book moments were so fun. I did think the stepbrother romantic plotline was absolutely insane, and I'm surprised it went on as long as it did, but I had fun reading it. Does that say more about me or the author? I don't know.
I mean, I told you she loved, like, the Flowers in the Attic series, and then she referenced it at some point.
Which we gotta read.
We do.
And gosh, what else? There were so many. Because there's so many just, like, dumb little moments that are fun. I loved the whole, like, Elise having a crush on Jenny. That was such a fun, like, little plot.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I did love when you brought up Dan and Serena. That whole dating plot line was really fun. Easily.
I was so glad they went back to it, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Cicely really leaned into the bits early on, because when he's telling Zeke that Serena is his girlfriend and he doesn't have confirmation yet and he goes to shoot a basket and he misses it. Loved that. I loved Nate thinking about getting a burrito while Blair was crying.
He loves his burritos. What can we say?
He was just like, when is my girl going to stop being emotional? And I think that the book that I had the most fun with, I would say, was when, for some reason, like, there's no discernible moment for me, but when they went on that ski trip to Sun Valley for spring break, I thought that was very fun. I think if I could, I would have loved to see a side universe of Eric, Serena's older brother, and Blair having a bit of a longer fling.
I really, like, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I feel the exact same way. I really wish they did, like, fully hook up. I wish they did have a little fling. I kind of wish it became, like, I wish there was more of, like, a more of a love triangle, and by that, more triangles. Like, I would have loved, like, the way Nate is contemplating Serena and Blair, for Blair and Serena to both have that other person that they're comparing Nate to, like,
mm-hmm.
Like, not even, like, entertaining, like, actually, like, I don't know who I'm gonna pick. I think, like, adding more drama with romance would have been amazing. Because I felt like, initially in this series, they didn't really push this whole love triangle. It was, like, very clearly Nate and Blair, and he always thought Serena was, like, pretty, and he lusted after her, but it never felt very deep. And then all of a sudden, I feel like in these final books, they really tried to be like, and this has been a love triangle the whole time, and it felt very forced. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I think we needed a little more depth from that, I think, to be believable. So that's why I think I'm saying, like, I wish I would have had more contemplation from Blair and Serena, because it felt so forced.
Yeah, I agree. I was also pretty shocked that Blair, not that Blair is not deserving of this, but I was shocked that Blair was the one who almost always consistently had a boyfriend, when Serena was the one marketed to us early on as constantly keeping the boys. That was
an interesting turn. And I will say, I've definitely critiqued the way Serena's character has been written throughout this entire series, and I will continue to do so. I feel like, because Serena's supposed to be, like, this ethereal person that you really want to attain to be. And I feel like I remember, obviously, in middle school, like, reading it, like, oh my God, she's such an it girl. But rereading it as an adult, I was like, Serena really is so boring. Like, I don't like that she never lost. I don't like that her entire personality, like, Serena's kind of a pick me. She, like, all she wants to do is be loved and will do anything to fit into the mold of these, like, lovers. The biggest example is when she went on college tours and fell in love each and every time. And I almost wish she would have lost for, like, living that way a little bit more, because it felt like all she was rewarded for just making herself available and changing herself for men. And I feel like we missed out on and I know we love that this series had no lessons, but we missed out on like a good learning moment for Serena.
I will say, and within the straightforward series, I agree with you there. She never lost, but
she never lost.
But at the end, I think that we cannot praise the sequel to the series when they are in college so much, because I think that that was just the perfect guillotine to her entire character arc. She had been looking for herself and other people, and then she was going to go to Iowa for Dan. She was so lost. She didn't know what she wanted out of life.
Yeah. No, I think I kind of liked how lost Serena was in the final book, just because it was the closest thing we got to Serena being invincible. Being not invincible. It was nice to watch her kind of struggle with like the reality of like, oh, all I've done is put my entire self into relationships and I don't know what I actually want to do with my life.
Yeah, because I think that that's the only trajectory that would have made sense for people who throw themselves into love. You never have the opportunity to look or find yourself if you are busy chasing someone else.
Exactly.
I will say, out of all the girls, surprisingly, I think my favorite in the end was Vanessa.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I've been trying to think of a question during this to kind of like ask like who was our favorite of like the guys and the girls. Mm-hmm. I did like Vanessa. I didn't like Vanessa's character at the end. I feel like she kind of did what Serena did, where she just got lost in a relationship. I hate plot lines where people get lost in relationships, even though I know that's so, like, realistic and it happens. Like, I know I absolutely did that when I was in my early 20s with my first boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's hard because I think I still might go with Blair. I feel like Blair was probably the most well-rounded character, and I feel like Blair had the most ups and downs.
Yeah.
I did love how much Vanessa just cheated on people and just, like, was so unapologetic about it, and then would just be, like, upset when they found out.
Vanessa showed
no remorse, and, like, it's kind of great because I think the reason I agree with Vanessa cheating on Dan versus like Nate cheating on Blair is because Dan absolutely deserves to be cheated on because he's awful. Because he's absolutely fucking awful.
I know. And he cheated on her with Mystery Craze. Crave?
It was the horse girl with yellow teeth.
Horse girl with yellow teeth. Exactly. I guess he started off that chain of events. Do you remember when we were reading that book? I think it was book 4. And I was like, I downloaded a free PDF offline, so you need to delete it because I read all the chapters out of order.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was so funny, Maggie. And it was, I think my favorite part of that is you didn't realize it until mid-episode is I was explaining the plot and you were like looking at me like, wait, what?
I think my jaw dropped because I thought that first he cheated on Mystery Craze and then he went and took Vanessa's virginity after it. That's the order of chapters God. It was. And really it was reversed. He took Vanessa's virginity and then he cheated on her.
And here's the thing is both of those are equally awful. Like, I don't think there's there's a one side that's better or worse. It's awful either way.
I definitely think I don't know, but I think cheating and then taking virginity might be, honestly, they're both bad. They're both bad,
is what I'm saying.
I think I liked Vanessa. Listen, like, yeah, she doesn't, did she have morals and ethics sometimes? No. But I do think she really knew what she wanted. And even when she fell into a relationship and got off track a little bit, she's still pretty much stayed to like knowing what she wanted. Like, I mean, she could have easily sold out with Hollis and shit like that. And not pitting them against each other, but Blair chased Nate nonstop and did not value the fact that she could give herself those things. That's and I was so like, true. Honestly, Vanessa fucking knows her worth. She like knows that That's she can true. Do it. She just sometimes like fell into the comfort trap, which
is relatable. Which we all do. Relatable. We've talked about the things that we liked about this series, but Maggie, and we talked a little bit about how we didn't love Serena's character all the time, but what are other things, touchstones of this series that we were like, nope, didn't like it?
That is such a good question. I mean, we can talk about the whole name. Oh, you know what? Actually, I wanted to bring this up because this is on top of the TV show, too, that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I think about a lot, and I wanted to bring it up last time. I don't think in any universe Blair would have gone for Chuck, knowing who Chuck was as a person who assaulted women in both the show and in the books. She is someone who, I mean, she's petty, she's scheming and shit like that, but she never reads as anti-feminist to me. Even when she was the senior leader for all those freshman girls, she was looking out for what was the best for them. Jenny being with Nate didn't really feel that great, but she let Jenny know that she was like, hey, he's not going to change. Ball is in your court. Don't do it.
Blair has always been a girl's girl, and I completely agree. I don't think in any world Blair would have gotten in Chuck. I think the final book coming out after the series had already started was very much trying to be like, oh, and people like Blair and Chuck in the show, we're going to change Chuck entirely to see if we can fit that narrative. And I think it was hard for me as a reader to kind of forget, because I'm like, yeah, he still sucks. Like, he was awful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that would happen in any universe. I think Vanessa would have at some point figured out she is gay. And I think that her and Blair could have had a thing. I think that that's another thing that could have happened.
I think that's my one thing. If we were going to do a gay storyline, I didn't need it to be Dan and Greg. I needed it to be Vanessa and Blair. Because that, like, it just made sense. Because they were living together, they were having a time. They were the odd couple, and I loved it.
I'm telling you, and I think that Vanessa knows her worth enough that Blair would also figure out that she would step in line and develop some independence. I think that could have been a thing.
It could have been fun. It would have been great. We would have loved it.
What are some things in the series outside of the Nate Serena Blair triangle that you found fault with, or might have changed, or didn't see as happening?
I think early on in the book, the sexualization of Jenny as a 14-year-old was very weird. She couldn't be mentioned without talking about how huge her boobs were, which, like, at a baseline, hilarious. But when you realize she's 14, less hilarious. It just is kind of like, why are we objectifying this child? And I also don't think I loved that, like, Jenny as this child was put into so many adult situations, like dating people that were older than her, like hooking up with the band of, like, the raves and things like that. I was like, she is literally a child. We shouldn't be writing this. So me as an adult, that definitely made me just be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
It did feel like one of those projects that an artist starts because they're like, I have a lot of good jokes. The platform of this, the plot, the structure of it, I can do this and have a lot of good jokes. And then at some point, it feels like Cicely fell into these characters and rounded them out to still include jokes. But then there were plot lines that were genuinely like, oh, this, I could see this happening in high school.
Exactly. And this is a complete side shot, but I have to take it because otherwise I'm going to forget. Maggie, we haven't talked about the fact that in the books, we don't find out who Gossip Girl is. There's not really a mystery surrounding it. And that's such a big driver of the show, if I'm correct. I only watched like the first season maybe forever ago. We find out in the series that Dan is Gossip Girl, but like there's never any reveal in the series. It's just like Gossip Girl is an overseeing god that just kind of tells us what's up behind the chapters that we don't see.
I was reading an article because I was reading a lot of
art. and they do, folks.
Because we had read the sequel to everything last week, so I was reading an article, and Cicely wrote that she was supposed to be Gossip Girl, just the narrator was, which I found pretty fascinating.
That's interesting.
And also, I think that if you're the author and you're going to interject, I really didn't think it was needed. Mm-hmm. I did think that Gossip Girl was an interesting tool, because if the narrator is saying she is Gossip Girl, it's like a cliff notes to every single chapter and what is happening, so you can keep along. And the people within the world, it was hinted at that sometimes they were emailing in, but they never talk about who Gossip Girl is. And sometimes in the show, there's really high stakes where they're like almost going to catch her at graduation. They're almost going to get her at Serena's birthday party.
Yeah.
And they never addressed it as a problem. But I would be pretty stressed if an anonymous person knew everything about me.
Yeah, no, it would be insanely stressful if I was like, why is Gossip Girl always writing about me? But I do think it's an interesting kind of device if it's just like Gossip Girl's strictly a narration tactic and it's not meant to be a who is it, especially because that's how really the chapters are written too. Like there's little comments like after things happen, like it'll be like Blair did this. What was she thinking? Which I thought was an interesting writing style too, because you don't really get that a lot in books. You don't get like a, you know, here's what's happening, but also here's what a separate voice is thinking about it.
It's almost the antithesis to the Pretty Little Liars series, because they mm-hmm. interact with the omniscient narrator, who A is yeah. and who's A and all of that. And maybe that's because A is legitimately posing a threat and going to blackmail them and ruin
yeah,
their lives.
Yeah, I guess there's not enough like murder in Gossip Girl. And the stakes are very much just like, you get cheated on, maybe you do some drugs,
unless
hook up in a bathroom.
Unless it's the psycho killer one where Blair and Serena are killers.
I would be interested to read that at some point. I'm so interested that somebody did like a fan fiction version of that was released, because I think that's such a hilarious take on this already pretty like goofy series.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think
I agree.
I could honestly see, okay, out of all of the characters, who do you think would be I think Blair would be an incredible serial killer.
I think Blair makes the most sense. She's the most calculated.
I don't think Serena could be. She's messy and not that
yeah,
smart.
Yeah, and I think Vanessa would be like the obvious choice because she's goth, or Dan because he's the obvious stalker. But I feel like Dan is too messy and doesn't watch his tracks. Like Blair is very poised, and Blair is very much like on top of her shit. So I agree with you. I think she would be the best one. Nate would be ranking him. Nate would probably be the worst.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's high all the time. Serena's the second worst. Vanessa's pretty, you know, then it's Dan who he would fumble so quick. He'd get caught. I guess Vanessa would be okay, but I feel like she's just an obvious pick. And then I would put Blair at number one.
I agree. I would think Blair would marry Nate for access to the boat, to the Charlotte. Dump
yes,
those bodies
dump,
in the Hudson.
Dump those bodies in. What if that's what happens in that book?
I guess we'll have to figure out someday.
I guess we'll have to figure out one day. One day more.
I don't know. I love that we started talking about the serial killers, and then I was like, okay, if we had to diagnose all of them, I think Blair would be a psychopath. Chuck would be a sociopath. Nate would be a narcissist. Serena would... She's not borderline. Oh, a sex and love addict. For sure.
Oh, yeah. She has an anxious attachment style. Definitely.
Dan would probably be schizophrenic. And Vanessa... Vanessa's secure attachment. That's her diagnosis.
Nailed it. And if you think otherwise, definitely write into us.
Please.
Because
yeah.
Tell
us the Gossip Girl neuroses, please.
Do you agree or do you differ? This series was definitely like long. I forgot what it was like to do a long series, because we spent like all of last year just doing like little bangers, like three books here,
zipping
four
through.
Books here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely interesting to get back into like, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And again, for a 12 book series, like it, again, it, I will say it like didn't hold up in terms of being good for like 2024. Like there's a lot of things that don't hold up. Like
they drop the R word
PC-wise.
A lot.
Yeah, they drop the R word a lot. But I still had a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun, and I also can give flowers to an author who clearly did the research. I mean, on the front end of capturing a world that was so obsessed with brand and image.
Yeah.
I didn't know half the shit about the fashion. Like, this is a fashion book, too. If you wanted to know fashion in the early 2000s, fucking reading that, I learned so much about clothes.
Yeah.
Because I just looked it up. Like, I didn't even know half the words for, like, the cuts. Like, I don't know. Taupe? Nope, that's not what it was. I can't think of one. Chiffon? Maybe.
Chiffon isn't a color. It's a fabric.
I think they probably wore chiffon at some point then.
Maybe, yeah. No, but I think that's so interesting because, like, in the Click books, like, they're dropping so many, like, brand names and, like, she had her Motorola Razr and her Louis Vuitton and her this and her that. But since, like, it doesn't hit in the same world of Gossip Girl because, like, they're very posh, I think, in Gossip Girl versus in the Click books, it's very... it's just very middle school, so it's like it's hard to really latch on to it in that sense, I think.
Yeah, Fashion felt like another primary character, I would say, in that. And
yeah,
I mean, I really, really enjoyed the world building in this one. I was pretty enthralled. It felt like watching television for my brain, reading it. And I think it was one of the more favorable Hot Girl series that I think
I would agree.
I've enjoyed us reading.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like, I think both of Jenny Han's series are still up there, I think at my top, but this is definitely up there.
Mm-hmm. This is like, this is the Hot Girl older sister to the cute girl Jenny Han. Books.
That's such a good pair. Because, like, these books were pretty horny. Like, there was a lot of sex in these books.
Oh, my God. I mean, Nate and Serena popping Viagra in, like, a Kohl's. She wouldn't be. It was probably Marshall's, but she.
It was, like, a Barney's, yeah.
It was
Marshall's.
Isn't Marshall's high class?
No. Marshall's is a overstock store, Maggie.
I can't afford Marshall's, so I assume that it's rich.
Wow. No.
Oh, okay.
Marshall's is very affordable.
Oh, oops. I think I went in once and a dress was, like, $75, and I was, like, this is too much money.
That's so funny.
Maybe no, Jenny shops at Marshall's.
Maybe. Well, she even bought a fancy dress at like a Bloomingfield's or whatever in one of the books, right?
Yeah, I think so. I know at one point she had an Urban Outfitters top, which is me. I mean, on a day I feel like the 1%.
Yeah, yeah. Wearing a full price thing from Urban Outfitters is pretty expensive, so I will give her that.
Yeah, but I guess to them that's like middle class, which is crazy to me. That's rich.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, Maggie, I think we're at the point where we have to decide who our Justice Four character is and who our canceled character is for the series.
What do we want to start with?
Let's start with canceled so we can end on the positive.
Okay, because I know canceled for me, we don't see enough of Chuck, so we can't consider him a legitimate option.
Yeah, Chuck is hardly a character in the book.
I gotta cancel Nate.
Yeah, I'm really between him and Dan, because Dan was also awful, but I do think Nate did more worse things.
I think Dan at some point had a redemption arc. I guess he did cheat on Serena. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that Nate consistently, the thing is, okay, and I'm not defending Dan, but Dan would act out of his some accord that he didn't really know the moral ethics of it, whereas Nate constantly knew that he was pitting these two women against each other, and instead of reflecting for 2 seconds, he was just like, but maybe there is a world where I can have them both.
You know, the third book, the last few books actually hit a lot different when you realize Nate the whole time was just trying to have a threesome.
Oh my God, he really was. And like, I didn't want him to win, but also when they talk about it for 3 books, you kind of just want to read the threesome. You're like, just give it to me.
Yeah, just give
it. You keep teasing it.
Give me a thruple moment. Like, I don't care at this point. You've just put in all this groundwork. We need something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, then who's our Justice Four character?
Ooh.
It's hard because nobody, like, loses a whole ton in this series.
That is really tough.
It's a really tough one.
You know what? I think I'll go with Justice for Blair just because I think at the end they hint at her getting with Nate. And I don't think she should spend a life constantly feeling second best.
Yeah, I think I'll also say that Justice for Blair. I think Blair was giving into the narrative of, like, you never get over your first love, like that, like everybody says all the time, which is just so not true. You will. You'll be fine. And I didn't like that that's what became from her, but I really feel like it was very ingrained in her that, like, that's how, you know, things have to be. So, yeah, I'll agree with that.
I agree.
Wow.
I really feel like we've talked a lot about Gossip Girl. I feel pretty good in wrapping everything up. Do you have any other thoughts on Gossip Girl?
I don't think I do. I mean, I'm sure I could come up with some. Boy, have I been talking about this book for months at this point. But I think that's really the girl she got gossiped, you know?
That is true. And I guess now is the part where you guys really tune in. You're like, what is Maggie and Laura going to read?
What's happening next season 13?
What are they going to read next season?
What's going to happen? I hope you all have been placing your bets with your friends. You've been sports betting like on Yahweh Reddit.
That's true. Hey, bet the over on us always because we're going to be high scorers.
Oh, you guys don't even know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Except we're going to tell you.
I'm pretty confident that this is the series we're doing, but also don't remember. Oh, it is. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know what it is, Meg. You should say it.
Laura is giving me a little win because of of the breakup, of the September breakup, and I kind of had my own montage of being depressed in the fall months, similar to a montage in this series, if you've ever seen the movies. But we are going to be reading the Twilight series.
I'm loathing this next step for us. I read the first book of Twilight when I was in eighth grade and I hated it, and I wrote a book report on how much I hate it, and I refused to read any of the other books. And I think I even vowed I would never finish the Twilight series, and here I am.
I gotta bring Laura 10 along.
10 years later, eating my fucking words.
And fans, you're like, the fans are like, oh no, not Twilight, they're both gonna hate it. You know what, I'm gonna try to stay true to my eighth grade soul, and even during the problematic parts I'm gonna double down. I'm just gonna say right now, I'm gonna go in with the mindset that I like it, and you're not gonna change my mind about it.
Maggie's going and raving about like the pros and everything.
I cannot wait for all that toxicity. Honestly, I think a palate cleanser for me, I need to get in the toxic mindset. I think I need a toxic situationship in 2024.
Yeah,
I need an Edward Cullen. Like,
this is a way for Meg, I think, you to just like entertain the idea of getting back out there.
Exactly. No more healthy relationships for me. This is just reading Twilight, just looking for people to hurt me.
Yeah. I think that's a vow, baby. That's all we need.
I don't want to grow.
As we do, we're going to take some weeks off. Maggie and I will talk about when we'll come back. Yeah.
You said we have to take some weeks off, and I was like thinking about how I smell right now, and I was like, yeah, we're going to take some weeks off. I really need to take a shower. So I guess I'm going to be doing that for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Once I'm done with my shower, we'll come back.
Yeah, we also just need time to read fucking Twilight. That's going to be a trope. But and Maggie and I usually, we're pretty on top of like, and this is when the season is launching, but like we haven't done that this year yet. Stay with us, we'll get to you.
We're gonna get to you, don't worry. We'll probably have to split them into two parts because these are honking books.
And I think the books are split into two parts already, right?
No, Twilight is just one book. They're not real. We're gonna have to split the episodes into different parts. Well, they're like huge books.
No, but I know like sometimes bigger books like Uglies and stuff, like they have like parts to divvy up how big the book was.
What they might, we'll see.
I think they might. And if you remember if the books are split into parts, please tell us by emailing us or commenting on our podcast.
Yeah. Or rate and review us and then leave it in there.
Yeah, we love a rate. We love a review. Hell yeah. Well, I'm excited to get back into Vampire Land. We did this previously with Vampire Diaries.
I can't wait.
And we'll be doing it again.
All right. Well, we'll see you next season on Yahweh Reddit.
Woo. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.